Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Thanks for staying with us here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3. And in the spotlight today, we're going to take a closer look at that precious metal that's been garnering much attention and investor interest. I'm, of course, talking about gold, and it's now teasing the $2,000 mark. And hot off the press today is the World Gold Council's latest gold demands trend report. Now, in the report, it says that while overall gold demand fell in the first half, we did see record flows into gold-backed ETFs. To find out more, we're joined on the line now by Andrew Naylor, and Andrew is the head of ASEAN and public policy at the World Gold Council. Andrew, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
So, Andrew, the World Gold Council has just come out with your first half and second quarter report. Can you tell us what were some of the key findings that really stood out to you?
I would say it's a tale of two halves, if you like. The big story is the impact of the pandemic. I don't think there's any surprise there, but it's had a different effect on different aspects of gold demand. So certainly, when you look at consumer demand, that's jewelry demand, bar and coin demand, that's down across the board. Overall demand is down by about 6%. But however, if you look at investment demand, so the interest that institutional investors, pension funds, insurance funds, and mutual funds and so on take in gold, that's hugely increased. In fact, it's up by about 90% so far this year to just over 1,100 tons. And that there are a number of reasons for that. First of all, none of us know what the shape of the economic recovery will be, mm-hmm. nor do we know its duration. There's a lot of uncertainty out there in terms of the economic impact of COVID. Government balance sheets are increasing on a pretty unprecedented scale. And we're in a very, very low interest rate environment that's probably going to stay for quite some time. So investment demand has certainly gone up. That's reflected in our figures. There are a number of reasons for that. One is there is a need to hedge risk. We don't know, as I said, the shape of the economic recovery. Valuations in some other markets are pretty frothy. So that need to hedge risk has increased, and gold is well known as a risk, as a hedge against risk. As I said, we're also in a very low, or ultra-low interest rate environment. We've got expansionary balance sheets. That's here to stay. And then finally, the third reason for investment demand has been this sort of positive price momentum. We've had record high gold prices. Mm-hmm. Gold has generated returns of about 17% in the first half of this year. And you see that's fueling greater investment demand, which is, as I said, has gone up by about 90%. So it's kind of a tale of two halves. Consumers have been put off by the high prices. There's also been a logistical impact of the pandemic. Jewelry shops, bar and coin shops, they have been closed. The economic uncertainty has led to consumers shying away. But the impact on the pandemic on the investment community has been, in some regards, the opposite effect. You see greater momentum and greater interest in gold when the price goes up, as it has done.
That's interesting. And according to your report, we also saw some records, didn't we, when it comes to investment into gold-backed ETFs?
Yeah, I mean, ETFs are one of the vehicles or a main vehicle that investors use, particularly institutional investors, but also sometimes retail investors as well, to access the gold market. There are a number of reasons why investors are interested in gold or recognize gold as an important asset in investment portfolio. First of all, it's a great diversifier. It doesn't react in the same way as most other asset classes. In fact, if you look at correlations to many other asset classes, they're very, very low. So it performs very differently in a portfolio, and that's what you want, really. So it's a great diversifier. It also outperforms. As I said, this year it's gained about 17% mm-hmm. in the first half of this year. But if you look at gold's performance over the long term, compare it with lots of other major asset classes, it does tend to outperform. Not always, but it does tend to outperform. And it's also a very liquid market. Over $100 billion of gold is traded every day in the main trading centers. So it's a very, very liquid asset. And all of these things mean it's an attractive investment asset and an important part of investment portfolios. So that's why investors allocate to gold. Why are they doing it now? Well, it's because risk has increased. Other markets are quite frosty at the moment. There's lots of uncertainty out there. And the interest rate environment, which is very, very low at the moment, very, very low interest rate environment, that's likely to stay for the foreseeable future.
And that's quite a staggering number, isn't it? The amount of, or the value of gold traded on a daily basis. But Andrew, I want to ask you, you know, as you mentioned, we've seen inflows into gold-backed ETFs from the investment side, but investment into gold coins and small bars has slowed. Isn't that also another vehicle for investment? Why have we seen this slowdown in gold coins and small bars? I mean, jewelry, you've shared a little bit with us earlier in the interview, but maybe from the coin and bar perspective, can you tell us why or what you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, from when we talk about bars and coins, we're really talking about retail investment. So that's going a retail investor buying a bar or coin, maybe online or through a shop. That has declined quite significantly because of the pandemic. And there are two main reasons for that. One is the price is very, very high. When the price is high, consumers tend to be a bit more price sensitive. They're more likely to sell or to bank the gains, which you do see sometimes. But also when the price is high, consumers are, there's an affordability issue, if you like. The second issue has been the direct impact of the pandemic, namely the shutdowns. So jewellery shops, bar and coin shops have simply had to shut. And obviously that's had an impact on the consumer's ability to buy bars and coins. But just going back to why ETFs haven't been affected like that, well, it's because you don't have the same sort of logistical issues. ETFs are traded on exchanges, easier, if you like, to access. But they still do constitute bar investment. So most gold ETFs, not all, but most gold ETFs are, you know, backed by bars. So it is an investment into a gold bar, but you don't have that sort of logistical challenge to the same extent that you would in the retail market, where the main distribution mechanism for bars and coins is physical shops.
We're speaking to Andrew Naylor, head of ASEAN and public policy at the World Gold Council. Now, Andrew, tell us, we have started to see some regional economies open up. Are there any signs or indicators that you're starting to see a pickup in physical gold?
I mean, at the moment, it's still quite early to say. Jewellery demand, it's almost halved during the first half of this year. It's difficult at the moment to predict what the future looks like for jewellery. As I said, it tends to be a bit more consumer-driven demand. And when you do have this greater economic uncertainty, consumers tend to shy away, whereas investors tend to look towards gold as a hedge against risk and a safe haven asset. So institutional investors sort of behave in a very, very different way. So when it comes to the jewellery market, which is obviously a consumer-led market, the economic certainty and the downturn, that will have a sort of a longer or more enduring impact on that market. The two biggest markets for jewellery are India and China. Mm-hmm. They account between them for about 50% of jewellery demand globally. China's market reopened back in March. So we've seen there has been some positive news coming out of China in terms of the overall economic recovery. But we're yet to see that sort of trickle through to the jewellery market. It will pick up eventually. It's really a question of when.
Now, gold also plays an important part for central banks when it comes to reserve asset management. Can you tell us more about some of the trends you've seen in the first half?
Central banks are a very important source of demand for gold. Central banks have historically recognised the safe haven properties of gold, which is why they're willing to commit the nation's reserves to the asset class. They've been net buyers now for the last decade, since 2010. And although demand from central banks has declined when you look at year-on-year figures, mm-hmm. That's because 2019 was a record year. It was the biggest central bank buying year for, I think, close to 50 years. So it's quite a hard act to follow, if you like. But they are still an important source of demand for gold, but they're just not buying at the same levels as they were last year so far, and buying has become a little bit more concentrated as well, with fewer banks adding to their reserves so far in 2020.
Andrew, now this isn't mentioned in the release that I've received, but I wanted to ask you, what about on the industrial side? What kind of trends have you seen there? Because, you know, we have seen a larger percentage of the global population now working from home, which has resulted in an increased demand in IT and software and hardware, rather. Has that had any impact on what we're seeing happen with gold?
Yeah, so in Q2 this year, technology demand is down. Year on year, it's down by about 18%. The reason for that is the economic downturn. When you look at where gold is used, it's used in very high-end electronics components. It's used in dentistry and in the medical profession. It's used in energy-friendly technologies as well, or climate-friendly technologies as well. There's a lot of research being done into gold's use in next-generation fuel cells and so on. But when you look at a demand for technology, obviously that's impacted by the economy. When there's a downturn, we're consuming less technology, and therefore demand for gold as an input would go down. So that's to be expected. We've also had, although the world is starting to open up again, but we've also had factories that have just had to close. So obviously, demand for gold has gone down from the technology point of view. But technology is an important source of demand for gold as well. Around about 8-9% of annual demand is technology driven. And as I said, that tends to be expansionary. So when the economy is doing well, factories are producing, require inputs. If gold's an input, obviously demand will go up. So it tends to be a bit more pro-cyclical. But this is the uniqueness of gold, really, that it has such a diverse array of demand. You have technology demand, central bank demand, investment demand, jewelry demand. You don't really have any other asset class that has such a diversity of sectoral demand.
So we've spoken about the demand for gold, but can you tell us a bit more about the supply? What impact has the pandemic had on gold supply?
That's an interesting question. I mean, total supply in the first half of this year has been down by about 6% to just over 2,100 tons. That's primarily because of the disruption that's been caused by pandemic. Mine production in the first half of this year fell about 5%, the lowest first half level since 2014. And recycling, which is another important component of supply, that's also down as well year on year. So the reason for that is because of the shutdowns, the pandemic. Some mines have had to suspend operations, likewise refining or recycling facilities, and also just the lack of consumer interest in gold as well has impacted the recycling market. So as I said, total supply is down by around about 6% first half of this year, but the primary reason for that is the logistical disruptions that have been caused by the pandemic.
So Andrew, just to wrap up, how do you see demand for gold changing across the region going forward?
In ASEAN, gold plays a huge role in household finances in markets like Vietnam and Thailand. It's a hugely important asset for individual and household finances at the retail level. And it'll likely continue to fulfill that role. So although we are seeing a reduction in consumer demand, it's not really a reduction in the attractiveness of gold to consumers. It's more about sort of the logistical challenges that COVID has brought about in many markets.
Well, Andrew, as always, a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.